We'll read in 1 Samuel and chapter 18. I'm going to give a little word this morning, a devotional word on David and Jonathan. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and that Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garment or apparel, even to his sword and his bow and to his girdle. Now, in 2 Samuel, chapter 1, and verse 25. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war. The story of David and Jonathan is one of the most charming stories in human friendship that existed between two men. I want to speak in a very simple way about Jonathan. I would like to say something first of all about his being drawn to David. I would like to speak about the remarkable love that Jonathan had for David. Then I'd like to say something about how he delighted much in David. And I'd like to say something about how he was so devoted to David. And I would like to encourage the Lord's people to be more devoted to the Lord Jesus, the one of whom David is a son. I'd like to remind you how slaves would be disappointed when Jonathan wouldn't go all the way with him. He would stay in the palace and he wouldn't take his place with David in the place of rejection. So that although David's love is revealed, we see that David's love was, Jonathan's love was revealed rather, we would see how that Jonathan's love was rivaled. He looked forward to the day when he would be second to David. David would be king and he would be second to him, but that was never realized. Very nice to see that he was prepared, since he recognized this as being the will of God, that he would take second place to David. It's the will of God for David to be king. He just didn't go all the way. And so he departed from David. He was drawn to him. He delighted in him. He was devoted to him. And yet, his devotion didn't seem to be complete. He departed from it. You know, David did what Jonathan wouldn't do. He went out and fought the lion. I think that we could be reminded how that David really loved Jonathan first. Because he went out and fought the giant, which Jonathan wouldn't do. May I remind you that we love the Lord Jesus. If we're truly born of God, but we love him because he first loved us. You see, David loved Israel, and he loved Jonathan, and he went out and met the giant. You know, David did what Saul wouldn't do, and after all, Saul was a big man, he was head and shoulders above other men, but he was too afraid to meet the lion. And David did what no one else would do. He met the lion. He slew him. And of course, David meeting Goliath in the valley of Elah and slaying him reminds us of the victory of Calvary, when our Lord Jesus destroyed him that had the power of death. There's the devil. Rendered powerless the one that had the power of death. Even the death. It was a marvelous victory that David gained in the valley of Elah. There are many things one might say, but I'm not going to try to cover everything that's in my mind. But I want to remind you that Jonathan loved David because of what David was in himself. And he loved him because of what David had done. Can we not say as believers this morning we love the Lord Jesus because of what he is in himself? We love him because of what he has done for us. In dying for us on Calvary, gaining that wonderful victory there. I was thinking of some of the things that it says about David. He behaved himself wisely. He was undoubtedly a man of humility. Listen to these words. And Saul's servants spake these words in the ears of David, and David said, Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? That's what he said after he had defeated Goliath. He was of a fair countenance. He was ruddy and of a fair countenance. When he met Goliath, he was around 20 years of age. Tremendous feat. He met him as a man of faith. He met him as a man of courage. Read the story carefully, and you'll see, I believe, that Jonathan loved David because of what he was in himself. I would dare to say this morning, I love the Lord Jesus because of what he is in himself. And what about you? Can you not say that to you, believer, he is altogether lovely? There's absolutely nothing to mar the loveliness of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't matter where you see him, in what circumstance you meet him, as you read the Word of God, he's altogether lovely, and never more lovely to the believer when he hangs upon the tree, where his moral loveliness and virtue was so clearly displayed. I love him because of what he is in himself. Quite recently, I was reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and considering the Lord Jesus as revealed by the four evangelists. I thought of the majesty of the king in Matthew, and the activity of the servant in Mark, the purity of the Son of Man in Luke, and the glory of the Son of God in John. And you know, as I read in the presence of God, and mused upon what I was reading, I found myself bowing in an attitude of worship. What a lovely person is the Lord Jesus. And I want to say this, brethren, the more we're occupied with him, the more we're going to be like him. For we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image, from one degree of glory, moral glory, to another, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. But Jonathan loved him because of what he had done for him. We love the Lord Jesus because of what he's done for us. Jonathan knew that he wouldn't be king. But you know, Jonathan gave his heart to David. My dear brethren, Since we can say we love him because of what he is in himself and what he has done for us, shall we not give our hearts to him? Son, give me thine fire. Shall we not put the things of the kingdom first and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Men will not want food or clothing. We can leave our future in his hand. Let us put God first, brethren, and the interests of the kingdom and the things of the kingdom first. Well, I must hurry. If you turn to chapter 19 and verse 2, you see how he delighted much in David. And because he delighted much in him, he sought his company. My beloved brethren, I hope that we are delighting ourselves in the Lord Jesus and ever desiring sweet fellowship with him. I wonder just how much we are delighting in our Lord Jesus. It just comes to mind, I'm just reflecting on something I remember reading. Winston Churchill said at the coronation of Elizabeth II, we love her for herself. That just came to mind. We love him for himself. We love him because of what he's done for us. Let us delight much in him. You know, a Christian who is living in fellowship with God takes with him a sweet savor of Christ. Oh, may God grant that we would delight much in the Lord and muse upon him and feed upon him. He's the food of God and the food of his people. Let us delight ourselves much in him, and we'll take with us the sweet savor of Christ. And I'd like you to think about the verses we read at the first. Verse 3 of 1 Samuel 18. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe, gave it to David. Do you notice that word gave there? Love delights to give. You remember how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Do you remember reading how that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? Do you remember the words of Paul in Galatians 2 and 20, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me? You know, love delights to give. Love is manifested in giving. And Jonathan revealed his love by stripping himself of his robe. Now, I take it that would be the robe of the heir apparent to the throne. He was wearing the robe that the king's son heir to the throne would wear. Well, Saul decked the women in their scarlet, but this was a robe, I'm sure, far superior to any scarlet robe that any woman wore. And you know, when he gave that to David, he was saying, I give you that position. I'm not qualified to be king. This place will be yours. My beloved brethren, are we prepared to give our David the place of sovereign of our lives? I'm not qualified to reign. I'm not qualified to order my life. I need someone to be the sovereign of my life. I'll give you the place. I'll give thee the place, my Lord. Set apart Christ as Lord in your heart, said Peter. Make him the sovereign of your life. Making the sovereign of your life in the business, in the home, wherever. And it will soon be manifested that you have made him sovereign of your life. And what about the garments, the apparel? What might those speak of? It has been suggested that that would speak of what belonged to him. Are we prepared to totally commit all that we are and have to him? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And there in that verse, the body is a figure of speech, where the part stands for the whole. It means body, soul, and spirit. It's total commitment. Oh God, help me to be totally committed. Lord, I don't own anything. All that I have is thine. And I yield it to thee. You know, my dear brethren, we wonder sometimes what's wrong with the assemblies of God's people. You know, if we were living the way we should, there would be a dramatic change in the state of affairs among us. Living near to the Lord would mean that when we would come together, the power of God would be realized. There would be a tremendous sense of God's presence. What about his sword? He gave his sword. That was what he defended himself with. He gave that to David. You remember when Peter wrote the words, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He left his God in favor. Maybe some of us have been reviled. Maybe some of us have been offended, or maybe even insulted, we think. Give the Lord the sword. Don't try to defend yourself. Leave the cause with God. Give the sword to your neighbor. And what about the bow? That might remind us of skill or ability. Have you some ability God has given you? Maybe it's some spiritual gift in connection with the ministry of the Word. Or maybe it's something else. You may not be a platform man at all, but you have some niche to fill and you have some gift to use for God. Let us get on with using our gifts for the glory of God. You know, some of our dear brethren have a gift of teaching. But do you know what? They don't spend much time with God and His Word. And you hardly ever hear their voices. You can't give out what you don't take in. The Spirit of God can't bring to your memory on the platform what you have never even considered. It's not an easy matter, my dear brethren, to address a meeting like this. I went out to preach full time nearly 50 years ago. I find it very hard oftentimes, most of the time, to get onto the platform. But God gives grace. My dear brethren, how much time do you spend alone with God, with your Bible? My dear sisters, I know you can't speak, but there's many another thing you can do. You can visit someone who is sick, some lonely widow. Your gift maybe is to be kind to somebody, and maybe another brother, he has a hammer and a saw that he can use for the glory of God. Give your bow to your David. Let him use you as he will. And the girdle. Well, the girdle in the Bible often speaks of service. Then give your service to him. Give your talents to him. Although some have suggested this was the place where a man would keep his money. So, perhaps it would speak of giving our money to the Lord. You know, I read this the other day and I've thought about it so many times since. It's not a matter of my saying, how much of my money shall I give to the Lord, but how much of the Lord's money am I going to keep for myself? I wonder just how much we know about the grace of giving. The supreme example is the Lord Jesus, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He was devoted to David, but have you ever noticed it doesn't mention anything about Jonathan's sandals, his shoes. The You know, that might very well be significant, because the sad thing is that Jonathan departed from David. He'll meet him in the field or the wood. He'll strengthen his hand in God, but then he'll go away to the palace and leave David. You know, when David went to the cave of Adullam, Jonathan wasn't there. David's family will be there. Others will be there, but Jonathan won't be there. He didn't give his sandals to David. And maybe that's significant. It's what one man said. His love was revealed, but his love was lifeless. Now, I may be speaking to some Christians here today, and you have sat in a meeting when God has been speaking through His Word, and you have said, from now on, I'm going to be a different Christian. I know I've neglected my Bible. I know that I haven't prayed. I know I've known very little of fellowship with God. I've been very materialistic. I've been taking up with the things of this world instead of the world above my head. I haven't been setting my affections on things above, but on things on the earth. There's going to be a change. And you've said, Lord, I'm going to make you the sovereign of my life after this. I'm going to live to please Thee. I'm going to be devoted to Thee. But nothing much changed. And here you are again today saying, I know it, but my life should be different. Maybe too many of us are like Peter. When the sheet was let down from heaven and the Lord said, rise, Peter, slay and eat, he said, not so, Lord. You know, my dear brethren, we shouldn't say not so, Lord. Because if he is the Lord, we mean we're subject to him. And disobedience is so out of place. You might as well put down on a piece of paper, not so, and Lord. And then sit down and say, what is it going to be? Am I going to cross out not so? Or am I going to cross out Lord? A girl told a preacher one time, she said, I've been deeply impressed. I know I should make the Lord Jesus Lord of my life. But I'm afraid if I did, the Lord would send me to the mission field, and I don't want to go. Her tear-dimmed eyes were quite clearly seen by the preacher, and the tears trickling down her cheeks. And he gave her a piece of paper, not so and Lord on it. And he said, now cross out one or the other. Came back some time afterwards and found the girl weeping bitterly. But she crossed out not so. She said, he's going to be Lord from now on. No matter what it means. And so, the main thrust of my message has been delivered. Jonathan never shared his rejection. David confessed Jonathan's love. And that's what we read in 2 Samuel 1. And David, in caring for Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake, compensated Jonathan's love. But someone has said this: his love was never crowned. I remember hearing a man say those three things, and they stuck with me. His love was confessed by David. That's what we were reading about in 2 Samuel 1. And then his love was compensated for Jonathan's sake. Mephibosheth was brought to the king's palace and was treated as one of the king's sons. He sat at meat at David's table. But his love was never crowned. You read the list of David's mighty men. You find Jonathan's name there. And incidentally, you find Jonathan's name specifically mentioned in Hebrews 11. Salvation is by grace. My dear brethren, that we'll be raised from the dead if we die, and that will be the grace of God that will raise us. But I want to say this: reward is something that's earned. The degree of devotion down here in this life is going to decide the degree of authority that we're going to have with the Lord Jesus in his kingdom.